This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Brett Boone Podcast.
Remember when me and you almost went to blows? Lou sent me down three times too, so I know what you're talking about.
With your host, MLB All-Star, Brett Boone.
Bottom line is, you will become a successful major league hitter by hitting pitchers' mistakes.
As he sits down with his sports and entertainment friends from around the world.
You are not going to be a successful major league hitter if you hit pitchers' pitches.
This isn't just any former jocks podcast.
To change the outcome, you got to change the income. You got to change what goes in. Then that changes what goes out.
Often duplicated, but never replicated. Just like his bat flip.
Okay, now the party starts. The responsibility starts now.
Now in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone. Today we got a friend of the podcast, part of the Odyssey family. He's got a great podcast. Check it out. Baseball Isn't Boring covers the Boston Red Sox for WEEI. He's been here a couple. I've been with him a couple times. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Rob Bradford to the show. Rob, I appreciate it. We had a lot of timing issues today. It was all my fault, but I appreciate you hanging in there.
There is no human being I'd rather be talking to right now than you, Brett Boone.
I love that. It's a great answer. Great answer. You know, we were talking off air, and I just got home from Arizona, long journey in an electric car, first time I've ever done it. So we made it, but I was checking you out today. And it's going to be a part of our topic today. Obviously, Red Sox. Rob's he's with the Red Sox. He does a lot of their spring training games. I think he does 17 in spring training. And a big topic is going to be, as I prefaced you on, is going to be the whole Alex Bregman, the big signing, offseason signing for the Red Sox. But Rafael Devers, in my opinion, one of the big offensive superstars of the game today. And we'll get into that shortly. But let's just touch. We haven't talked in a while. I just want to touch on the offseason. There's been a lot of big news, obviously, start to kick it all off. Juan Soto signs that huge deal with the Mets. Kind of shocked everybody, not only the price. But I've been watching, you know, there's other teams. That got all the headlines, obviously, him moving on from the Yankees. Yankees bringing in a plethora of new players there with Bellinger, Goldschmidt, getting a Max Fried from the Atlanta Braves. Those are all big headline moves. But behind the scenes, I've been watching the Red Sox. You cover them daily. Last year, they were 81-81. But they're quietly getting pretty good. This Crochet kid, Buehler, coming over from the World Championship Dodgers. You're losing a Jansen, but you're adding a Chapman. We'll see what he's got left in the tank. You lose an O'Neill, but you bring in a Bregman. You got some holdover players that are really young players are going to be really good. Duran with what he started. But I want your take, your grade on the Red Sox, their offseason. How are they looking so far in spring training?
Yeah, man, like I can't be a hypocrite. Like I said, if you got Bregman, you have to be perceived as one of the best offseasons because I think he checked off so many boxes for this team. Clubhouse, position, defense, you know, contact guy, right-handed bat. You go down the list. I mean, and just also just for business, it's all of a sudden the Red Sox are back with the big boys. Oh, my goodness. For the first time, Brett, in years, it's perceived that you can swim in the deep end with some of the biggest teams in baseball. That was a huge, huge thing. But I think that they got uncomfortable with Garrett Crochet. This is all the uncomfortable thing is going to be a theme. They weren't willing to get uncomfortable before. They got uncomfortable in trading four guys for Crochet. They got uncomfortable when it came to giving high AAV to Bregman. You know, you went down that road. Then you got Buehler, then you got Chapman, and Brett, like another subtle thing, I like what they are doing and what they're prioritizing is having basically more adults in the room, having more 30-somethings in the room. And particularly, you even look at what they've done with the bullpen in the last week, Brett. Like the fact is that you got on minor league deals, Ottavino, you got Matt Moore, and you've already gotten Austin Adams. And these are all on minor league deals. And I love that dynamic when it comes to bullpens. I think that it's so important. Instead of just throwing a bunch of spin rate guys and hoping that a bunch of them stick, which is fine. Like you can do that once in a while. But to have these guys who know their existence and knows what it likes to get through a season, which they haven't had, I think that's a very, very subtle thing, but I think an important thing.
I was wondering your take on, Giolito. He's in the rotation. I've been watching Giolito for years. 3 years ago, he's always the Cy Young. He's in that conversation. All of a sudden, his last year in Chicago, he kind of is like, is he ever going to live up to it? Obviously, last year was a disaster for him as far as injury and ERA. Bello and Crawford, we know what Buehler's capable of. If Buehler is the Buehler of 2 years ago before the Tommy John, wow. To put him in the two-hole behind a Crochet, who, by the way, reminds me a lot of a Scooble that just won he actually won the Triple Crown. He won the Cy Young, but he won the Triple Crown in the American League. Really impressive. Crochet reminds me a little bit of that. And if you can put a Buehler right behind him, interesting. Just recently, Pivetta signed with the San Diego Padres. Are the Boston Red Sox going to miss a Pivetta, or do you have enough in that rotation? You feel good going into the season?
Well, I mean, you know, you never have enough. I mean, they thought they had like nine starters a week ago, and now they're down to whatever three because Cutter Crawford's got a bad knee. Brian Bayo is a little bit behind in throwing shoulder. You think that Giolito's coming back. You think that Buehler's coming back. You think that these guys are, but you still never have enough. I think they have more depth. They have a kid named Richard Fitz. They got in the Verdugo trade from the Yankees, who's pretty good depth option. They got a kid named Quinn Priester from the Pittsburgh Pirates, who they traded for halfway through the year, who was a number one pick, and he's got some upside and did well when he got called up. But I think that I would say that they have a much, much, much better situation than did a year ago. Listen, I mean, Brian Bayo was your opening day starter. And nothing against Brian Bayo, but he wasn't established. And Garrett Crochet, I mean, we just saw him pitch today where it's the presence, Brett, like the presence that he has is like, yeah, I get it. Like you've only had 1 year as a starter, but I don't think anyone in baseball is going to look at that guy and say he's not a stud. So he's your number one guy. Buehler, the way that he ended going through the postseason, that looked like the old Buehler to a certain degree. Bayo, Giolito is on target, and you raise a good point. I mean, a lot up and down, but Giolito, people forget that up until he was traded like five times in that deadline, couple years ago, like he was really having a really, really good year for the White Sox. So I think that there a name that we haven't even mentioned is Tanner Houck. Tanner Houck is an all-star.
Oh, that's right.
Right? Yeah. Tanner Houck is an all-star, and Tanner Houck in a lot of rotations would be a number one. So I think that that Breslow should get a lot of credit because he's built this into a strength of the team. And let's be honest, if you want to compete, Like, you have to do this. Like, that's what the Yankees did with Freed, right? That's what Seattle does. That's, these teams are built on the top of the rotation guys, and they at least have much more potential than they ever have.
Question a year ago. I watched this. Obviously, he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. Kenley Jansen, but he didn't seem happy in Boston. Now, I'm not on the ground. You're on the ground. You saw it throughout the course of the season. But just the blurbs you pick up here and there, it didn't seem like he was ever happy being in Boston. He's out of there, too, now. Aroldis Chapman's coming in. You'll see what he's got left in the tank. But does that Jansen thing – am I right on the Jansen thing a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, there's it was like a roller coaster with Kenley. I love talking to Kenley. He's, you know, he's a fun guy to talk to, but, you know, heading into this time last year in the spring training, he came out of the gate. He arrived and he said, you know, I was told when I signed here that we would be going for it, and we aren't going for it. I mean, this is what he said heading into the spring. So, you know, that was not a great way to start things. He goes throughout two trade deadlines in a row. He sort of complained about how they didn't do enough. And then at the very, very end, he leaves basically a week early and didn't set a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths because he did that. Although I do think he had something going on at home. But, you know, I like Kenley. I thought he was pretty good with the Red Sox. We can't ignore that. I think that probably the perception of what happened in Boston didn't help his market with him landing this one-year deal with the Angels. Because if you're going to say to me, like, who is a legitimate closer that was out there on the free agent market, that's one of the few legitimate closers out there. I know he's up there in age, but, right, like, when he's on, man, he's
still
good.
Done.
He's yeah. good. He's good. Yeah. I mean, he's got the one pitch, but it doesn't matter. It's a really good pitch. So, So to answer your question, I think there was a lot of options. He certainly wasn't coming back to Boston. But, I really, really hope it works out for him with the Angels.
All right, now we'll get to it. It's the Devers Bregman. I read it the other day. It sent up a red flag, and I thought, I got to call Rob and talk to him about this. I've gone through a lot of different thought processes in my mind. I see Bregman. I see him out there. Okay, I see all the success he's had. He's a first-round pick years ago. I think it was, I forget the year. Anyway, he's had a ton of success in Houston. Won world championships. That's been kind of a dynasty over there in the American League West. And I'm going through my mind. It was the same thing I was kind of going through with Pete Alonso. Just as an outsider, as an analyst, that somebody watches the game, I thought, you know, for guys like this that have had the level of success, still only 30 years old, Alex Bregman, it's better sometimes to stay home where you're loved, where you've had a ton of success. Nowadays, you don't get to stay in one place for an entire career. I thought it's pretty cool to stay. There's something to staying at home. And I thought in the end, he was going to go back to Houston. Ended up not. And then I started thinking about Alex Bregman, his skill set, what he brings to the table. Obviously, an unbelievable pedigree on success. What he does in the postseason, he's the one guy. I think a year ago, we saw Soto, and what really sold everybody on Soto in that postseason is he was above and beyond the best offensive player in all of the postseason, and it was obvious. I really think that elevated him to another level. Now, I don't think Alex Bregman is the level of player offensively that a Juan Soto is, but I'll tell you what, he has a knack for the postseason, and he's really good. And it seems like the bigger the moment, the slower he can slow everything down, and he shines, really controls the strike zone as good as anybody. What I worried about him, and I always said, Pete Alonso's swing, that can travel to any ballpark, and if he has a good year, he can hit 35, 40 home runs. Alex Bregman was different. They were talking Detroit, different ballparks. I said, he might hit 16 home runs if he plays in XYZ ballpark. Then it came to the Red Sox, and I thought of Rafael Devers at third base, and I'm thinking, well, if they can work something out where everybody's happy, man, that ballpark sets up for an Alex Bregman. His his power is to pull. It's got that short porch. He's the opposite of me. I didn't hate Fenway, but I'd come there and, man, that wall was so close, Rob, and I could see it. And I thought, you know, my game is the other way, but it's so enticing for an Alex Bregman that plays right into his hand. And the more I looked at this deal, you know, then I saw the $120 million, $40 million a year. I thought that's an awful lot for an Alex Bregman, you know, coming off good years, but definitely not. He's making Aaron Judge type money. He's not an Aaron Judge, But the more I thought about it and his postseason success, and then I looked at his numbers recently, hit 25 home runs, hit 26 home runs last 2 years, 98, 75 RBIs respectively, and his postseason, add into that Fenway Park. And I started to like the deal a lot more. Then I saw how he handled his entrance into Red Sox camp with the level of professionalism and maturity that he did, basically saying, I'm just here to play, man. I want to win. Mm-hmm. Do whatever you want. He can't look any better than he did. I think he went deep today. You were calling the game.
Yeah.
And then you see the opposite end. You see the star of the Red Sox, the young star, Rafael Devers, who this guy could flat out hit, having that press conference. Now, you're on the ground. I'm not. I know a lot of these press conferences, when one of my teammates would say something like that, behind the scenes, we know what's really going on. But as just a observer from the outside, I said, that might be a problem right there. Because you signed this guy for $313 million, $330 million. Mm. He's a star in the league. And now you've got let's be honest, a superior defender at third base. And I don't even think it's close. That being said, Bregman could move to second. If push came to shove, I think he slides over to second base a lot easier than Devers. But the whole thing of turning into a DH, I understand that can be traumatic. I played with one of the best of all time, Edgar Martinez. And when they told him you're going to DH, he bucked it pretty hard, ended up accepting it, ended up getting to the Hall of Fame. So I understand all that. That's my take from the outside. I want to hear what's really going on, and that's why we have Rob Bradford on the program.
Yeah, man. So there's a lot to pick through, but first of all, you're right about Bregman. Today was his first game at JetBlue Park, and we know JetBlue Park is the same dimensions pretty much as Fenway. The wall's 7 feet higher, but whatever. But still, he hits a ball, and it plops one row into the left field wall, and you're like, there it is. There it is. He could do that all day long. That short little swing, boom, yep. That's it. And this is why he has such great numbers at Fenway. So he is a perfect. He's a perfect fit in about 9 different ways. When it comes to the Devers thing, it was a very unique press conference. I think that talking to guys in the clubhouse, I actually was talking to a couple guys just talking off the record today. They're like, this doesn't mean anything to us right now. It means nothing. Everyone's getting riled up. It means nothing. And I think what they have going for them, and they have some time before the season to sort of sift this through all out. But still, I mean, there's no way around. You have a chief baseball officer in Craig Breslow saying it's my responsibility to put the best team on the field. Well, Brett, you just said it. I mean, it's the best. You have a gold glove third baseman and a guy who's led the league in errors and for a bunch of years in a row. So I do think that this is going to play out. You never know about injuries. You never know about what options they're going to have at second base, because this is another part of the thing. Bregman, other place he would go is second base. Right now you have Vaughn Grissom. Right now you have this kid, Christian Campbell, who's one of the top prospects in baseball. You have David Hamilton. You have some interesting guys. But if they aren't working out, we say, Bregman, you go play second. Devers, you go play third. But ultimately what it comes down to, Brett, and I love that example you have about Edgar Martinez, because this isn't just a Boston thing. This is a baseball thing which everyone can relate to, which is the guy who has had to switch positions. And as somebody told me, I've never seen a guy retire because he had to switch positions. And, I was just talking, we just did a podcast with John Daniels, and he was remembering when Michael Young had to switch positions when they got Adrian Beltre.
Right. Yeah, he was a real Michael Young, one of my favorite players. He came in late in my career, but I was always really impressed with the way he took care of business, and he ended up being a really, really good player. But he had that way about him where I don't care. I'm going to win a gold glove here. And if you need me to play short next year, I'll go play short. That's very selfless. And I'll be honest with you. I haven't met too many guys that were really elite defenders at a position that would willingly just pick up and go, okay, I'll move over here if you need me to do that. Yeah. Michael Young was that guy. He was a special guy.
Yeah. I think Bregman is that guy, but this isn't about Bregman. Bregman is, I honestly think Bregman will play wherever You want them to. And this is about Devers, as we know, the no press conference. Right. And then you have Tristan Casas the next day saying, Bregman should play second, Devers should play third, all the prospects should stay down.
And it's like he's his wingman.
He's his wingman. And so there's a couple of ways to look at that, because you can say, well, you know, Casas is protecting his position because maybe one of the places Devers might land is first base. There also is an element, I think, that Devers is like, I think that Casas is in his own way too, is saying, I'm a good teammate and I'm backing up the guy that I played with I'm familiar with for all these years. And it's like, I know that he wants to play, because if he comes out and says, no, Bregman should be the third baseman, whereas Casas has been with Devers, he hasn't been with Bregman. Right. And so I think what Rafael Devers has to do, and he's going to start playing on the field because he's had this shoulder thing, but he's okay next week. He has to go out, and this is what we don't want to make too much of spring training, but in some cases we do. And this is a case where you have to go out and you have to ball out if you're Devers at third base, to at least enter the conversation. And today Bregman played third. The minute he plays second, the conversation is going to change. It's going to go back and forth. But Devers has to go out because if he makes a couple errors in spring training,
right,
that's going to be the path that basically they might want, to be honest with you, because they say, hey, look, Rafi, look, how, you know, this is you're not ready. You're not ready.
Right.
So it's a good conversation, though.
The crazy thing is this, and I'll break it down in just layman terms as best I can.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Aesthetically, if he goes out and plays a great defensive third base in spring training, which we all know doesn't mean a hill of beer.
Right.
Especially once you're an established player like Devers is, you're getting your work in. We need you when the bell rings. We're not going to watch you take ground balls at third base. All of a sudden, they're going to be watching him take ground balls at third base, which he's not used to because he's been an established star for a long time now. Now he's going to be critiqued on his early work at third base. Nobody wants to have that. At a point in all of our career, and we all, believe me, I went through it. I remember when I was in my heyday, boy, I had an ego. We all have egos. But there comes a certain time and a place in your career where you got to be able to look in the mirror and be honest with the situation. For me, that time came, I was 35 years old, 34 years old, and I remember they came to me. Mike Hargrove said, "Booney, we're going to hit you sixth." And I was like, wait a minute, I hit third or I hit fourth. I don't hit sixth. I hit sixth when I was a young player. I don't hit sixth anymore. Don't you know who I am? And, it took me a little bit. It was an ego blow. But when I was really honest with myself at the time, I thought, well, I'm 35 years old. I'm not as good as the guys we have. We had an Adrian Beltre. Richie Sexton came over in a trade. And I just thought, these guys are in their prime now and they're better than me. Who am I to say I should be hitting third when Beltre's a 28-year-old kid with, he's walking around, I'm icing my knees and my shoulders every day. And I'm sitting there going, I don't hit six. Well, it took me a little bit, but I accepted it. I had to really look at things and go, this is the way it is. This is the best thing for my team right now. And I was able to move on. I was a little bit older. I had a little more time under my belt than a Devers does. But at the same time, we have to do some self-reflecting. I think Bregman's at that point. Go ahead.
No, but that's a great example. I think as you're talking, the biggest difference that jumps out to me is – Devers is in his mind when he looks in that mirror that you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm 28. I have a $300 million contract. I'm in the prime of my life.
I'm the man.
And even like with Bogarts, Bogarts was an example of this, right?
Without a doubt.
He had to move to second last year. But even with Bogarts, you're still talking about a guy who's creeping into his 30s. And the guy who's replacing me at short is inarguably better at shorts, but I talked to Xander at that time last year at spring training. And this, much like you're talking about, Brett, this was a tough pill to swallow, man. It is a tough one. And so for Devers, the pill is three times as bigger than most of these.
Well, I'll tell you what the Bogarts thing, I think that's a good transition. The Bogarts and the Cronenworth being in San Diego, I can keep a close eye on those guys. Not only was the Bogarts thing moving from short, shaking things up, putting Kim at short, but you move Cronenworth to first. Now, Cronenworth is a really good defensive second baseman, but all of a sudden, I just thought, I'm playing GM, I'm playing manager, and I'm going, okay, I got Bogarts, I gave him a ton of money, he's a star in this league. How is that going to affect him mentally? Is he going to be the same player? He's going to say the right things, I'm here for the team, but is he going to go to second base, accept this, and be the player I need him to be? It's twofold. Now I've got Cronenworth that goes to first. His value is being a really good defensive second baseman and hitting. Now all of a sudden is Cronenworth saying, wait a minute, now I'm going to first, do I have to hit more? Is that added pressure? Let alone the fact that you had this 22-year-old Tatis who was a shortstop. And shortstops especially, they're the best defenders on the field at all time. They're the most talented. No one will ever changed my mind on that. You're born a shortstop. You're not made into a shortstop. I was a shortstop my whole life until pro ball. And then I went to second base because I wasn't a big league shortstop. That's just the way it is. So they're especially have a bigger ego than we do defensively, because to ask a shortstop to move to second, that's like, that's an insult. Well, and to ask me to go play short is just, it's over my head.
Let me ask you this question. I'm anxious to get your response, because I was talking to a GM about this. How do you do it? Like from the team's perspective, this is another thing, right?
Right.
How do you do it? And with Bogart's situation, you remember it was literally, according to him, it was just one day they showed up and right before his spring training really got going and said, you're going to do this. Devers, they kept saying, if we do this, we're going to talk. We haven't talked to him. And then finally they talked to him. But once spring training happens. But I think that there might be, and I'm anxious to get your response to it, is that the conversation almost has to start, even if it's not just like definitively, we are going to switch positions. It has to start a lot earlier. Like, you have to ease into it a little bit instead of ripping off the Band-Aid, because that's when people really get sore. You know, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Rob, I'll tell you what I was. I was floored when I saw that press conference with Devers. It was almost like, this is the first time I've even been told. I saw they signed Bregman, but they told him he was going to play second, and I'm the third baseman here. I was shocked when I saw that press conference, not knowing Devers at all. I've never shook hands with the man, so I don't know what makes him tick. Some guys handle this better than other guys do. You know him a lot better than I would know him and what kind of guy he is. But I was shocked to see that press conference, because I thought, he's acting like he wasn't told. He's a $300 million guy that's been a star in Boston, a beloved player there, and he's not in on what's going on here. Now, I would think Alex Bregman, when he's going through this whole offseason, he was the latest guy to sign, latest big free agent to sign. He's choosing between the Cubs. This is, well, reportedly between the Cubs, the Detroit Tigers, and his home team, Houston Astros. And he makes this decision to go to the Red Sox. I would think, okay, they have something in place between Devers and Alex Cora and Bregman. We have an understanding of how this is going to go down. And then all of a sudden it's like, no, I didn't know they were going to sign Bregman, and I'm still the third baseman. And Bregman's just here going, I got a pretty good deal for $120 million. I have two opt-outs. They got to consider that. I think here's what it is. This is where Alex Cora makes his money. It's not about bringing in the lefty in the seventh inning because he's over his pitch, because this guy's thrown too many pitches, or bringing this guy in this situation. That's not where managing, where you make your money. For me, it's times like this, and I'll give you an example of something I saw firsthand. But this is where Alex Cora is going to earn his money. He's got to find a way. Bregman seems like a layup. Whatever happens, Bregman doesn't care. He's going to be the Bregman we know. The big massage job is going to be Rafael Devers, because I need my star to show up to the ballpark with a smile on his face, ready to get in the box and do what he does. Without knowing his personality, and all of us are different. We talk about it all the time. Some guys you got to kick in the ass, and some guys you got to give a hug to. I was the type of player that got my ass kicked, pissed off, and I was better for it. I didn't know it at the time. Davey Johnson was brilliant. He did that to me. He fired me up, and I'd watch him treat teammates of mine like with hugs and kisses, and he is just, man, he's treating me. And I thought, what are you doing? You know what I said? I'm going to show him. He knew that Brett Boone's personality was, you piss him off, you light a fire a little bit, he'll play better. You do the same thing to player B, he might quit on you. And this is Alex. I think this is going to be one of Alex Cora's big challenges, is how do I make my star accept whatever and this is just my thought right now with everything going on, Bregman playing third base today. I think they're planning on Bregman being the third baseman and Devers is going to be the DH. That's what I think right now. Like you said, things could change. Injuries happen. But I think right now, if it were starting tomorrow, and this is without having any intel, I would say Alex Bregman, if Cora said, hey, fill out the lineup for tomorrow, Devers is DH and Alex Bregman is playing third base. Why? because they're a better team that way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But man, it's tough though, because it's not like it's, you know, that 24th man on the roster where you say you play there and you like it if you want to keep a uniform. It's like, we owe you a lot of money. Alex Bregman could have a huge year, opt out of his contract and be a free agent again. And now all of a sudden, Alex is gone and you've got an angry Devers at you.
Now, that's a great point right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the scenario which you're desperately trying to avoid, because honestly, when they were talking to Bregman, I thought the scenario was very simple. It was, sure, you know, Devers is not as good a third baseman, but you placate him for another year, you put Bregman at second, and then you have that year and say, Rafi, you had your 1 year at third. Now we're moving Bregman over. Now we're putting Christian Campbell in, one of the top prospects in baseball. He's got another year under his belt. I thought that was the scenario. I did not think for a second that they would actually take this year, move him off, because I just thought that, to your point, I mean, I thought that they have really prioritized trying to keep Rafael Devers happy. But I can't disagree with you, man. Like, I think some of it's going to come down to how good the second basemen are, right, because that has to enter into the equation. Because if they keep saying, Craig Breslow keeps saying, which he says over and over and over again, it's my responsibility to put the best team on the field. Well, what is that? And if you don't have good second basemen, then maybe your best team is Devers at third and, you know, and Bregman at second. I don't know. Right. But it's you're right about Cora earning his money, and I, you know, I'm happy for your brother. Like, I think he's a great manager, and I'm happy that, you know, manager's getting paid more, because we had this conversation with Scott Boras at the All-Star game, where when Cora was going after his contract, one of the more baffling things to me for managers, and maybe this is an entirely different discussion, but how managers are paid like middle relievers. And like you have to deal with so much, including this.
And it's more now. It was different when I played. It was a different atmosphere. I'm not saying the players were different, Rob. You know that. The mentality was different. And they were different, more different, if that's a correct English, in my dad's generation. You know, everybody talks about, you know, I was asked this question on a podcast a couple months ago. Are you tough, Brett? I said, I'm a tough son of a bitch. Yeah, I'm tough. And then I started thinking about it. I go, but I think my dad's tougher than I was. And then I think about it and I think, my grandpa was a tough son of a bitch. He was tougher than my dad and myself. So I think as time goes on and times change, as the money gets bigger, I think it's just natural to get softer. There's so much money. The players today, what they have, and I don't take anything away from them, but from the time you go to A-ball, the facilities, the money, the way they pay for everything now, guys are catered to. When you're in A-ball, you've got four masseuses. We were like, I felt like Rocky Balboa in A-ball. I had one of those things hanging on a nail. That was my locker. So it's, and I loved, that's the way I came up. I loved it. I wouldn't have it any other way, but times are different now. Players are different. They're still ball players, still a ball player, but with the money, the way it is nowadays and the prestige and the social media, man, for a skipper to have something like this on his plate right now.
Yeah, and
I don't envy him.
And you're not even incorporating, you know, the line that Joe Maddon had a couple of years ago, where it was, but when it's not good when the game starts and you have 10 voices in your head, you know? And, you know, in that, that's this case, like, they can say this is Alex Cora's decision, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot of people who are also weighing in on this decision. And so he's balancing all that. And that just simply, yeah, sure, you had the GM that you had, you know, Billy, the money ball scene where Billy Bean comes down and says, does his thing. But still, it's a lot more complicated in so many ways. And I think this is a pretty good example. But I do think, to your point, I think Alex Cora is one of the best in the game. And he also has a very good relationship with Rafael Devers. And I think that helps as well.
The thing is this. here's the question. First of all, you got to know what makes Devers and the relationship between him and Cora. What makes him tick? How do I get him to DH, which is our best team, because Bregman is an elite defender, to put him at third? The team's just better right now for me, what I see. But it's not better if Rafael Devers has got a grimace on his face every day coming to the ballpark and doesn't have a Rafael Devers type year. Then it's not worth it, the fact that Bregman's that much better of a defender. If I can find a way to thread that needle, that balancing beam act, to get Rafael to smile coming to the park and accept it and play Bregman at third, well, that's a home run. How do you do that? And we talked a little bit off, and I'll share with the audience. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want to keep you too long tonight. But the only thing I've seen close to this as a player on the field, it was 94 or 95, Cincinnati Reds, Davey Johnson, who I mentioned earlier, one of the greatest managers I've ever known. And the way the psychology that he used, you know, I didn't know at the time as a young player, but then after my career was over, looking back, oh man, Davey was genius on the games he played. We acquire Tony Fernandez, Blue Jay star, Gold Glove shortstop in Toronto. He comes to camp. Nobody knows him. And broken English, doesn't say much, quiet guy. Barry Larkin's our shortstop. Barry Larkin's in his heyday. Tony Fernando shows up to the ballpark with the same attitude that I saw Devers have the other way. I am a shortstop. That's all I do. I play short. Well, we get to the point where I'm going out for my ground balls during batting practice. I got Tony Fernandez at short with Lark, who is my double play combination, but I got Tony Fernandez with his blue glove on, and he will not take ground balls at third, only shortstop, because he's a shortstop. And I'm turning two with these guys, and it's uncomfortable. I can see the look on Lark's face, like, does he know that I'm playing short? Because obviously Davey had told Lark, you're the shortstop. But Tony wasn't accepting it. Jim Bowden was in the mix. He was the general manager. I remember the conversations. And it was bizarre for us as players to watch this unfold throughout spring training. It's like Tony was unhappy. He'd come to the ballpark. He wouldn't talk to any of us. He would just go take his ground balls at shortstop. He'd walk around with his head down. He didn't want any part of us. And people were thinking, well, who's this Fernandez guy? You know, we don't need him on his team. I'll tell you what, whatever happened between spring training and opening day, between Tony, Jim Bowden, our general manager at the time, and Davey Johnson, I have no idea what happened, but they weaved magic. He was the best defensive third baseman for a season I've ever played with. David Bell was pretty good, but that particular year, Tony was unbelievable at third. He had a great year offensively for us on a first place team. I think that was 94 when the strike ended our season. And he passed away a few years ago, but I can say I can count on a couple hands my favorite teammates of all times. I put Tony Fernandez in that category. And the first week of spring training, my attitude was, who is this clown? Fast forward 6 months later, he's not only one of the greatest human beings, but an unbelievable teammate that had a great year for us. And it, almost to the point where we could tease him, you know, a month into the season, like, Tony, how's third base going? He just got to smack you, shut up. But he did it with a smile, and he finally accepted it. I don't know in the end what got him to accept it, but whatever magic that, and I talk about Davey Johnson being a great manager, whatever he did, he got the best out of Tony, and he played a hell of a third base, and everybody was happy, and it was a cohesive unit. Alex Cora, can you pull a Davey Johnson 1994?
That's the great thing, because just like that, you have time. Like, you have time. You have some time here. This isn't like all of a sudden – and the worst thing they can do is get to the end of spring training, get to the last week or couple weeks, and still – there's still some – unresolved stuff going on, and then say, boom, this is how we're doing things. And an unhappy Rafael Devers is sitting there on opening day. Because as you said, Brett, a big part of this is getting the most out of one of your most important, if not the most important player in Rafael Devers. And, you know, they got some time, but it's going to go by quick.
Well, that's very cool. Rob, I appreciate you coming on and taking the time tonight. you're busy down there. You're calling games. I'll be checking you out. But yeah, I'm gonna call you off record in a couple weeks and say, is it getting any better?
I want those calls. All part of the family. This is what we love doing, right? This is what we love doing. We love, whether it's on the podcast, on the phone, on text, whatever it is. It's baseball season. It's awesome. I really appreciate it.
You got Rob. I appreciate it. And for those of you watching the Brett Boone podcast, check us out now on YouTube. Download the podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you download your podcast. Be sure to check out Rob's podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring. It's a great podcast, like he said, in the Odyssey family. Until next time, keep it here.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.